You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, February 6th, and I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's got to be 70 degrees out there. A solid 69, according to my Apple widget. Very nice. And the Oklahoma City Thunder are coming to town tonight. Losers of their last four, they're looking to right the ship against a Warriors team that's reeling defensively and just lost its last game on Saturday. So it's going to be a tough test for the Warriors at home as the Thunder have their backs against the wall. Great game. We're going to preview that game in the first segment. In the second segment, I'm going to do my Warrior of the Week. We're going to look at JaVale McGee and his play over the season and recent play. He doesn't play every game, but when he does, he certainly makes things happen. And I want to showcase him because I haven't really yet this season. And he's special for us. Without him, we don't have size, you know, and a guy who can jump through the roof. Jordan Bell is a reasonable facsimile, but JaVale is just so big that he's just very useful against guys like Rudy Gobert and Marc Gasol and, DeAndre Jordan, other guys of that ilk. He's very useful. And without Jordan Bell and without David West in these last couple of games, you know, JaVale's been getting minutes and he's been doing important things for us. And then in the third segment, I'm going to go around the NBA, check in on some other teams and see how they're doing. A few losing streaks, a few winning streaks. We're going to talk about who's hot and who's not. But first, I want to talk to you about my media. You can find my written media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. You can get in contact with me in so many ways. At Koji Tare on Twitter, KOGITARE, or at Locked On Dubs on Twitter, also via email at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. That's AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. Make sure you checked out the other Locked On Network podcasts. Locked On NBA Net is available on Facebook, as is Locked On Warriors. I appreciate you checking in with me every day. It's one of my passions being able to do this, to talk about this amazing Warriors team every single weekday. So here we go. So the Thunder come in super streaky, having followed an 8-game win streak with a 4-game streak of losers. Before that, a 3-game losing streak, a 2-game winning streak, 2-game losing streak, a long 6-game winning streak. So they lose games in succession. They've shown that they do that. The Warriors do not. The Warriors have this season followed up all 12 losses with a win, all 11 losses up to this point with a win, and they're playing at home. They've had a few days off. They've had a few days to think about their faltering defense and the ways in which they can come focused, play a little bit better, and they know that the Thunder are going to come to play. This isn't like playing the Nuggets, who are, you know, a middling, you know, the Thunder were built to beat the Warriors. The Thunder were put together with the idea of having the Warriors having a target on their back. Same thing goes for the Houston Rockets and the Boston Celtics, to be honest. There's a lot of teams working to compete on a star power level with the Warriors, and the Thunder are the first and foremost among them. You know, you got to put the Thunder right up there with three, quote, superstars, unquote, and, you know, an MVP, a guy who, you know, is right now, I think Paul George is the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't think anybody else has impressed me like he's impressed me. It's time for a wing to win it again. Paul George is the guy. And then, of course, Carmelo, who's getting better and better as the season has gone on and has kind of slid into his role, getting really just wide open shots. If they find him, like sometimes he's getting wide open threes that carry him off the rim, or, you know, threes after second chance point opportunities. But if they invest in Carmelo a little bit more, just invest in Carmelo, because Paul George and Russell Westbrook, they have gravity. They have gravity on the court, not Stephen Curry level gravity, but gravity nonetheless that shifts the defense away. And Carmelo can just get these bunnies. He's just getting bunnies, and he'll make them, especially come playoff time. I think that the Thunder are going to be a really tough out, and I wouldn't be surprised if they make the conference finals, unless they have to go through the Warriors, then I would be surprised. But great team, if inconsistent, and they're facing the Warriors, you know, in a weird time, you know, still the dog days, and the Warriors defensively have not been themselves. We can say themselves because the Warriors have been a top five defense for the last 3 years, top 10 defense for the last 4 or 5 years. And now they've fallen, you know, 2/10 behind a half of a season where they've been playing excellent defense, top five defense, and then a half of a season where they're playing bottom 15, bottom 20 defense. And that has culminated in a 10th ranked defense. The Thunder, to their credit, have the 4th-ranked defense in the league, though Anthony Roberson was a big part of that on the perimeter, and he's out with a torn patellar tendon for the rest of the year. So we'll see how the defense kind of bounces back, but they still have defensive-minded players on the wing on their roster, though Kevin Durant did say that Anthony Roberson is probably the best perimeter defender in the league. High praise from the former MVP. As I said, the Thunder are losers of 4 straight at the Washington Wizards without John Wall. That was a 6-point loss. At the Denver Nuggets by 3. That was the Gary Harris 3-pointer at the buzzer. New Orleans beat them 114-100 at home, and Los Angeles Lakers took one from them at home as well, 108-104. Close game. And it was a 2 p.m. Eastern game in Oklahoma City. That would be 1 p.m. In those day games really mess with teams. They mess with good teams, they mess with bad teams, but definitely I there's some research to be done on day games and how they kind of influence players who are routinely used to playing at 5, 6, 7. It's a different experience. On the Warriors side, David West expected to return tonight. We can probably see him slotted into his regular, you know, role as the, you know, the guy who does stuff in the first 6 minutes of the second and fourth quarter. I still think with Steven Adams out there, we are going to see some JaVale McGee. And I want to switch gears to McGee after this word from our sponsors. Welcome back, and we're talking JaVale McGee, the Warriors' hype man off the bench, the guy who can jump through the roof and catches lobs from Steph and Draymond and whoever's throwing them. It doesn't matter. His catch radius is enormous, and he'll throw it down. This season, JaVale is averaging 4.0 points in 37 games, 63% from the field, 63.4. And an effective field goal percentage of 63.4 as well. Career high 76% from the line. You know, he's a 58% free throw shooter for his career, so that's nearly a 20-point jump from his average. And you gotta think that coming to the Warriors had something to do with that. A per of 21.4, which is wow. You gotta look at that and say maybe it's who he's playing with. And you know, it's such a small sample size that it's hard to quantify, but a 21 point, any per over 20, and you're getting into elite player status. I mean, I don't want to say elite. That's such a dirty word these days, but you're getting into, you know, the players that you're not going to pick last, you know, if you got them in a lineup. It's like, oh, you got a 21.4 per? I'll take you. But he mostly does the dirty work, and we love him for it. You know, he's out there, you know, slipping screens, catching lobs on offense. You know, occasionally we'll see him back somebody down, do a little nice little pet move, you know, a jump hook or a dive, you know, with some good footwork to the rim. And defensively, you know, just inhale rebounds. He's averaging 1.9 rebounds per game, but we're going to look at his per 36 numbers, where he's averaging a very healthy 3.1 offensive rebounds per game at 8.5 total, and almost 2 assists, along with a steal and 3.7 blocks. So that's 4.8 stocks per 36 minutes. And, you know, you can't play JaVale for that many minutes because then the holes in his game start to come out. He can't do much more than explode for a few minutes off the bench, and then you bring him out because the explosion is over. You know, the explosion is over, and then you see that he has trouble coming out to guard shooting bigs. Sometimes he's behind on rotations, and you know, he's a little bit flighty. So he'll you know, that's a lot of good, but you know, a little bad as well. When you are on a championship team, you have to be locked in, and maybe he's only able to be locked in for a few minutes at a time. But Steve Kerr has talked about this and talked about how he, you know, just simply can't play JaVale big minutes. And that's fine, because what he's bringing in short minutes is excellence, truly. 4.8 stocks and some spectacular blocks, just spectacular. But he's also committing nearly 6 fouls per 36 minutes, and that's one of those bad things, you know, is he's always going to be in foul trouble because he's coming over to help and he's, you know, using his body, and sometimes he's a little bit out of control when he's using his body. You know, he does have great body control, but he's such a big guy that it's hard for him not to just bump people sometimes. He's such a long guy. His feet don't move laterally extremely, extremely well. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, shit on JaVale for the entirety of this segment. I think that he brings so much to the Warriors and has shown himself certainly to be Jordan Bell insurance, because they bring a lot of the same things. They jump through the roof. They slip screens. They inhale rebounds. They block shots. But JaVale is, like I said earlier, just bigger and stronger than Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell's a strong guy, but he's only listed at, what, 6'9", 6'10", and he's going to have trouble with some of those bigger players like DeAndre Jordan, who I mentioned before. Hassan Whiteside is another one I'd think of. But JaVale can use his body, use his size to wall off the rim in a way that Jordan Bell can't, but Jordan Bell runs with those small units so well, and that's where JaVale can't be useful. He's basically making the veterans minimum this year, a lot of very minimum contracts and a few mid-levels on this Warriors salary sheet right now, and you know, you got to wonder how much is this team going to change over the summer. There's a lot of movable contracts. There's even a potential for the Warriors to make a move before the trade deadline, which is coming up in a couple of days. February 8th is the trade deadline, and there's some news. The Warriors might be looking to upgrade at the wing. They inquired about Avery Bradley, who's now a Clipper, but that went nowhere. That report is from Zach Lowe, who suggested also that the Warriors look at Brooklyn Nets shooting guard Joe Harris, whose salary is a closer match to Pat McCaw. So, you know, I would hate to trade McCaw. He's been not that great, but it's, like I said in the last podcast, it's because he's not trying to assert himself. And that's just a confidence thing, I think. It's not like a level of play thing. And he's still just such a great defender and theoretically fits into what the Warriors are trying to do excellently, especially with the salary that will be low for the next few years. Now I want to switch gears to the rest of the NBA, but first I want to talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast. If your company is looking for men between the ages of 18 and 44, y'all need look no further than the Locked On Warriors podcast, which is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. Podcasts are hot right now, and Locked On Warriors is no different. If that's your target demographic, definitely send me an email, alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you with all the details. Our rates are incredibly reasonable, and you got nothing to lose. So get at me. Now we're going to go around the NBA, and we're going to start with a look at the NBA standings. The Celtics, winners of 4 straight after losing to the Warriors in Oakland, are first in the East, followed by the Raptors. The Raptors are 2 games back, 1 game in the loss column. And then there's a big drop. The Cavs are 5 games back in the loss column to the Raptors. And there's a cluster of teams right there with them. The Washington Wizards and then the Milwaukee Bucks, a few games behind them. The Pacers, the Heat, and the 76ers round out the top 8 in the East. The 76ers are 25 and 25, and the Pistons are 26 and 26. So there is going to be one pretty solid team that misses the playoffs this year in the East. And, you know, I was hoping the Knicks would make noise. They're like my pet Eastern team, but they're down there at 11th and 23 and 31. In the West, it's a bit of a different story. The Warriors and Rockets head and shoulders above the rest of the West with 12 losses and 13 losses, respectively. The Warriors, losers of their last game, are going to have to, you know, they're going to have to watch out because the Rockets are on a winning streak. They've won four in a row. They're only one game back in the loss column now. You know, I think a lot of people talk about this. Is home court important for the Golden State Warriors? And I would say, yes, home court is always important, one. Two, we've never tried it the other way around. You know, we probably could. We could probably Spurs it or Cavs it and win on the road at the two seed or, you know, maybe even down the line three seed, whatever. But why would we want to? And so the question is, how much energy do you expend trying to get home court? You know, I think that what Steve Kerr is going to do is what he's continuing to do. He's going to rest guys, you know, based on the advanced tracking cameras that they have in the arena. You know, they basically tell them, this guy's tired. He's going to be playing below par. If you continue to play him, you should rest him right now. That's what those cameras do. They track player movements and they track, you know, based on a baseline of movement, how players are sport VU cameras. That's what they're called. How players are actually faring out there and whether or not they need a little bit of time to rest. Following the Rockets is the Spurs, losers of two straight in the third seed. And the fourth seed is the Timberwolves, winners of two straight. And the Thunder, who we play tonight, losers of four. The Nuggets, winners of three, including against the Thunder and the Warriors in the sixth seed. In the seventh seed is the Portland Trailblazers at 29-25, same record as the Nuggets. And in the eighth, the Pelicans still holding on at 28-25. The Clippers are at 27-25, and the Jazz are at 25-28, still in sniffing distance of the playoffs. But right now, it's the Pelicans holding down that last spot. You gotta wonder if the Clippers are gonna tank it and try to get a better draft pick. You gotta wonder. But right now, they're two games above 500. They won two in a row. They're trying to win. Doc Rivers, I guess, wants to keep his job. And everyone is kind of sinking right now. You know, they sinking S-Y-N-C, you know, C, not S-I-N-K. And they're playing well together. The Jazz also playing well together. And if the Pelicans aren't able to hold on to that last spot without DeMarcus Cousins, I would see the Jazz jumping the Clippers and getting into that spot before the end of the season. Winners of six in a row. Right now, they're really streaking, including that game against the Warriors. That was a tough one. Some exciting playoff matchups in the West. If the season were to end today, obviously there's going to be a ton of jockeying for position over the next couple of months. But Spurs, Nuggets, that would be one I would love to watch. I don't want to see any team but the Spurs face the Nuggets. I want to see them execute them to death. And then in the 4-5 matchup, that would be Timberwolves-Thunder. Very exciting matchup. And then the Warriors would face the winner of that, probably the Thunder. It's a tough one to say. Who would win that matchup, Timberwolves-Thunder? I think that the Thunder have the edge at more positions, but the Timberwolves definitely have the edge at shooting guard and center. So it's a tough one to really suss out, as many 4-5 matchups are. But I'm hoping the seeds stay the way they are because Timberwolves Thunder has the potential to be the most entertaining first-round matchup in the playoffs. In the East, some interesting ones too. Celtics Sixers would be the 1-8. I would watch the shit out of that. And then Cavaliers Pacers. You know, would the young and scrappy Pacers, you know, push the Cavaliers to six or seven games? Very fun to watch. Any playoff series with Giannis Antetokounmpo is one I would watch. And right now he's set to play the Wizards. John Wall would be back for that series. Great 4-5 matchup there. And that's about as far as we can take it for this episode of Locked On Warriors. It's been a pleasure. I'll keep you posted. I've got some writing in the works for Forbes.com and some other projects in the works as well. You will all be the first to know. Thanks for listening, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.